Chandra Mifflin, this is Aaron. He's not available right now. Uh-huh. Yes. Sure, I'll give him a message when he gets back.
Michael had chicken pot pie for lunch. Actually, let me rephrase that. Michael had an entire chicken pot pie for lunch. And let me be more specific. Michael ate an entire family-sized chicken pot pie for lunch, and then he promptly fell asleep. So we're all trying to be very quiet so as to not wake him up before 5 p.m.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, just Ethan Weiss here with you. Nick is off today. Before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Still follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. We're back. It's been a few weeks. Weiss, how are you?
Good. Pockets full after the Super Bowl. Had a great nice. Super Bowl weekend. It was
very
awesome.
Nice. Awesome. Love to see it.
Yes, you love to see it. But we're back because there's a couple people that want their pockets full.
Oh, and more than a few.
Yeah. And
by the way, can we just get this out of the way first?
Yes.
You finally had a medium steak.
I did.
It's still wrong, but we're trending in the right direction, unlike the Giants negotiations with two players that we'll discuss in a minute. What is the hesitation behind medium rare?
I just don't like too much red.
But why?
It just grosses me out.
So it has nothing to do with the taste?
No. If you put a blindfold on me and put the steak in my mouth, I probably wouldn't know the difference between medium rare and medium.
No, you would.
I would?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't be grossed out. I mean, I just don't like too much red. That's why I was always on the medium well stuff. I couldn't do well done because people will laugh at me. But when you go to restaurants and you order a medium well steak, they basically give you a well done steak.
Yeah, because it's like, what's the point?
Exactly.
All right, we'll get you there eventually.
All right.
That's okay.
Yeah. All right. So last night I was out with some friends. Phone started going off, notifications. You know, I got a couple beat writers and then the first thing was Daniel Jones changes agents.
Yes.
Was repped by CAA, I believe.
Yep. Now he's Athletes First.
Athletes First, who've negotiated some big quarterback deals recently.
Yep.
Jordan Ronan broke the news. Don't know. He said, don't know how much impact it'll have, but it's at least interesting, and it is very interesting given the timetable of this. Shortly after that, Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, which, by the way, I do respect Paul's, how connected he is. He is a connected person. I might not agree with a lot of stuff he writes, but he's as connected.
We'll debate that in a second.
Sure. Well, they gave an update on where things stand with Barkley and Jones. And with Jones, it was pretty much what we've heard, $35-38 million, the importance of having him back. We'll talk about the Saquon Barkley things in a bit, but we want to stick to Daniel Jones. Then Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, came out with a big one that's certainly created a big buzz, talking about Daniel Jones asking for $40-45 million per year. So, all that to digest. Ethan, your thoughts on everything surrounding Daniel Jones?
Well, the first thing I don't understand is people who think that Daniel Jones has leverage in this situation, because he doesn't. The Giants, worst case scenario, they don't want to do this, apparently, but you want $40 million? That's great. Here's the franchise tag. Sucks. Season after, you want $42 million? Sucks. Here's the franchise tag again. Like the NFL, and we've seen it change a little bit over the last few years, but still primarily the NFL is a league in which players do not have the freedom that we see in the NBA, in the MLB. Right, we just saw Manny Machado come out and say, "Yeah, I'm opting out after this year. Like, I'm gonna get like another mega deal. Don't care. I'm gonna do it." The NHL, even this past offseason, we saw it with Kachuk. DeBrincat got moved. Like, big players sort of saying, "You know what? Like, I'm not signing. Get me out of here. Whatever." The Giants have the leverage in this situation, and the only reason that I take Paul Schwartz's report with a grain of salt is because this is not Jerry Reese's Giants. This is not Dave Gettleman's Giants. I'm sure the beat writers still have people feeding them some sources and some information from inside.
Ownership.
Sure. But this is Joe Shane's Giants. Joe Shane's going to do what Joe Shane's going to do. Like we saw from the moment he got here, I'm not picking up the fifth-year option. Like, do you think that John Mara was thrilled with that? Probably not. But Joe Shane's going to do.
But that was a no-brainer decision. I don't think ownership would have said we want to.
Sure, but still, like, you know that John Mara loves Daniel Jones. Like,
wants
you know
to be
that,
right,
like,
about Daniel Jones.
Yeah, you know the Mara family had a hand in the pick. The comments that he passed in the offseason where he said, you know, we did everything we possibly could to screw this kid up. Like, we got to give him a chance. Doesn't matter. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are going to do what's in the best interest of this football team, especially given the cap situation that they're in. They didn't pick up the fifth-year option. The contract still isn't done, and clearly negotiations weren't going well. I don't know whether CAA overplayed their hand or was having a tough time dealing with Joe Shane, but switching agencies right now in the middle of negotiations is not a good sign for Daniel Jones. Now, either Daniel Jones isn't happy with how CAA was handling the negotiations, and, you know, CAA was probably, oh, we want 40, whatever. And Daniel Jones is like, guys, stop dicking around. Like, just get me a 5-year deal in the whatever, you know, high 30 range, whatever it is. Like, let's just get it done. And he wasn't happy. Or CAA wasn't asking enough and Daniel Jones isn't happy. We don't know.
That's where it is.
At the end of the day, the Giants hold the cards. They still slap the franchise tag on him. And people are like, oh, if they, and you tweeted this, by the way, like not too long before we're recording this, and you're 100% right. The franchise tag isn't ideal for the Giants, but there are plenty of ways the Giants can create more cap space, extend Leonard Williams, get out of Kenny Galladay's contract. Like, I understand, what was it, if they franchise tag him, just boom, right now they have only $14 million, $16 million in space. There are plenty of ways to get creative, extend certain players, lower the cap hits. Like, it's not really an issue, especially because I don't think either of us truly believes that, like, this next year is going to be the year the Giants take, like, this massive leap. Like, this is sort of, like, get your house in order off season, and then go from there. Like, I have always maintained, like, year three, like, that is when we can expect the big leap. There is still a lot for the Giants to figure out. Quarterback is one of them. But at the end of the day, like, I don't see what leverage Daniel Jones has.
Yeah, I think the one thing you talked about when you brought up Manny Machado, which is an interesting point, is the player's ability to opt out of a contract. You don't see that in the NFL often. I mean, I can't remember the last time a player had an opt-out in his contract. We could opt out after 2 years or 3 years. But I think with the Daniel Jones thing, the agent change is the only interesting thing here. Everything else that's been reported is pretty much what we expected.
Right.
In negotiations, a quarterback who's, you know, right now in terms of where his career has been, this is Daniel Jones' peak. Now, whether it can continue to go up, time will tell, but he right now, this is the best he's been, and he just happens to be a free agent. So, of course, he's going to come in and ask for a lot. I mean, that's what you want. An agent, you know, negotiates things for you, and you're going to ask for 40, 45, whatever the number is. That doesn't mean you're going to get it, and I think Daniel Jones understands that the franchise tag is $32 million, which is less than some of the numbers we've heard from the Giants side, where it's like 35, 36, 37. So none of that's really surprising to me. The agent change is what's really surprising, because it makes me wonder, okay, what are the possible reasons why Daniel Jones would change his agent right now? Does he want to take an offer from the Giants that the agency doesn't want him to take, meaning it's probably less than what the agency thinks he can get? I don't think that's the case. Is it because the agency's telling Daniel, hey, maybe it's best for you to play on the franchise tag and then try to negotiate a longer deal next year where we could get you a lot more? And Daniel's like, no, I want a long-term deal right now. Possibly. But I don't know why the agency would be telling him to take the franchise tag on February 20th when there's still another 2 weeks left. And the third option is he just doesn't like where, and this is where I think it is, where Daniel Jones believes he's worth more than what the agency and the team is saying. And I think that's where the agency gets eliminated, and that's why he goes to an agency like Athletes First, which is known for getting quarterbacks, you know, big long-term deals. And that's where I think this is. I think Daniel is shooting a lot more, and he should. He has every right to shoot for whatever he wants to shoot for. Whether he gets it, that's another story. And I think that's the interesting thing right now, and that's the added dynamic or the added layer to this dynamic situation between Daniel Jones and the Giants, where it's like, okay, February 20th, you know, typically around the combine is where you start to get these deals done with in-house free agents and outside free agents too. But that March 7th deadline with the franchise tag is the big date. I believe they can start franchising players tomorrow. I don't necessarily know why they would franchise them tomorrow. But
they wouldn't.
They have two more weeks. Obviously, the combine is the big weekend where things will sort of play itself out. We'll see what comes out of that. But it's interesting. Interesting where they are. Obviously, the franchise tag is the big play here. And yeah, I don't think the franchise tag is the worst thing in the world. It definitely handicaps.
I think that's what they should do.
I can see that, but I think what the franchise tag does was it handicaps the Giants with what they can do right now versus a long-term deal where you have more flexibility and you can build this roster, not only this year, but for coming years.
Sure. I mean, there's still always the world where they franchise him. He plays really, really well for the first half of the season. They give him the big deal in season, yeah?
You can't extend on a franchise tag. The window stops July 7th.
Okay.
So after July 7th or July, somewhere in the first week of July, you don't have an extension done, then he has to play that final year. The only thing you could do with the franchise tag is you can negotiate it to be lower or higher, but I don't know why any player, there is reasons why a player would say, okay, I'll take less on the franchise tag. But nonetheless, that's sort of where it is with Daniel Jones. It's interesting. I don't think the Giants wanted to do a franchise tag. It might be beneficial for them too. And I don't think Daniel Jones wants the franchise tag either, but it's important to note, and this is a great point that, one of these salary cap guys on Twitter pointed out. So Joel Corey, who, works for CBS Sports, he's sort of a salary cap analyst, brought up a great point. So with Daniel Jones, obviously everyone's talking about how much he should get per year and yada, yada, yada. And Joel Corey makes a good point where he says two straight non-exclusive franchise tags for Daniel Jones will get him $71 million for 2 years, which is $35 million per year. So there's no reason why Daniel Jones should take a contract that's $35 million per year because all the contracts only guarantee 2 years unless they're guaranteeing him more than 2 years, which that could be a problem for the Giants. So that's why that whole $35 million a year is sort of like the starting point. And then that's why you saw Paul Schwartz's thing where it was like $38 million a year. So that was just a great point because you see some of these numbers being floated. And we talked about this in the past where it just doesn't make sense. So the franchise tag, I think, is very, very much on the table. And as much as like a couple weeks ago, I thought, okay, they're going to get a long-term deal done and avoid the tag. It seems like, at least early on, that this deal is not going to get done by that March 7th deadline, and Daniel Jones is going to get franchise tag.
So there we go.
Now, there's a domino effect here, right?
Sure. And there shouldn't be, but...
But in terms of the franchise tag, if the Giants have to franchise tag Daniel Jones, you only have one, you don't have two, you only have one, March 7th, that means that when the free agency starts... Saquon Barkley, if he doesn't have a long-term deal, is a unrestricted free agent and is free to negotiate and take any deal with any team that he wants. Now, unlike with Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, there's a consistent reporting on the sort of hard line of where the Giants are willing to go.
Yeah.
And that is $12.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what the number is with Daniel Jones, but we know with Saquon, it seems like the Giants are like 12 and a half, that's it. They offered him a very identical deal that what Nick Chubb got a couple years back, which was, I think it was 3 years, $36 million. The Giants offered 3 years, 37 and a half, so right around there. And Saquon didn't take it. Now we enter the offseason. We've heard 14, $15 million. I mean, to me, this is pretty straightforward. I was pretty confident Saquon would be back when the Giants season ended, Maybe that was a lot of emotions for me at the time. But right now, I still think he's back, but I'm a lot closer to 50-50 than what I was back then, which was probably like 70-30.
Yeah. I don't remember what my percentage was, but I feel like I wasn't optimistic.
You weren't. You weren't.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Like, you look at the market, you look at what he's asking for, you look at the positional value. I mean, Aaron Jones just took a freaking pay cut to stay in Green Bay. Like, the market is just not in a running back's favor. Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, he said he didn't want to reset the market, and then the rumors were that he wanted over 14 and a half. It was like 16 or something like that.
Right.
Like, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it from this team who is going to be somewhat in a cap crunch. I mean, there, like I said, there's creative ways to make space, but they're not going to be creative to make space for a running back. Like, look at the teams that just won the Super Bowl. Like, look at who they have in their backfields. Miles Sanders, Pacheco. Every year, basically. Yeah. My favorite graphic that comes out from Marcus Mosher, whoever that is, who covers the Cowboys, is like, look at the cap hits of the leading rusher in the Super Bowl going back the last 10 years. Look at where Joe Shane came from. Like, these are teams that don't dedicate big resources to running back. So, like, you know,
Paul Schwartz. Yeah, this is what Paul Schwartz says. As of the latest, the gap still exists. The Giants are not going to go much higher than the annual average of $12.5 million. They could increase their offers as far as guarantees, and they have little interest of having Barkley play on the 2023 season on the franchise tag, because they are unwilling to eat up so much of their salary cap space on a running back.
Yeah.
That is very important right there. To me, that is the big thing, is like, the Giants don't even want to have a running back on their roster that takes up $10 million in salary cap space.
Nor should they.
Right. So that should really tell you what the Giants think about the running back position. He went on to say, in the first year of Chubb's new contract, which seems to be where the Giants are willing to pay him, Chubb's salary cap number was $4.7 million, and that is more in line with what the Giants are thinking for Barkley. So, and then he topped it off with saying, is it easy to envision Daniel Jones not playing for the Giants in 2023? No, but the same cannot be said for Saquon Barkley. So, this is such an interesting dynamic with Saquon, because it goes beyond the football field, and I know fans don't want to hear that, right? They're all about production, winning games. But Saquon is a marketable guy, and that definitely plays a huge role. But he's a running back. And running backs, they long-term deals, it typically doesn't play out well. And right now, based on what we're seeing and based on what's happening with the Daniel Jones situation and how the franchise tag is very much in play, it seems like if the Giants don't get a long-term deal done with Barkley by March 7th, would they even, like, they probably wouldn't even franchise him at that point, right? Like, they would just...
Who's going to sign him? Who out there is going to pay him $14 million?
The big one is Chicago.
Yeah, why? Well, again, isn't Poles is a Kansas City guy.
Right.
Like, another guy who saw what happened, and we'll talk about your awful Bijan Robinson take in a little bit. But the Chiefs, who drafted a running back in the first round, late in the first round, because they were like, oh, fuck it, we won the Super Bowl. We, you know, why not? Like, sexy position, like, it'll help out our quarterback. Yeah, okay. He wasn't even active in the Super Bowl. Like, Poles is a guy from a team who knows what the value of a running back is.
Well, to be fair, it's not the fact that they took a running back. It's the fact that they took the wrong running back.
Doesn't matter.
In the first round. I just want to say that. Just want to put it out there. You know, DeAndre Swift went three picks later in the second round.
And still, Jamal Williams set the touchdown record for them this year.
I'm just saying, Jonathan Taylor went at 41, took the
run. And was a bum this year.
Well.
Because the rest of the team wasn't good.
I'm very fascinated to see how these two things play out this offseason.
Me too.
And you know what the crazy thing is? I have no rooting interest. Like,
me neither. This has been my stance the whole time. Like, Joe Shane has given zero reason for me to doubt him. Like, from the moment Dave Gettleman got hired, you and I immediately were like, we know better than this dude. We know this guy's a fucking moron. Like, we could build a better team than this guy.
And people that are listening to this podcast could probably build a better team too.
100%. I cannot say the same about me and Joe Shane. Like, Joe Shane knows better than me. Brian Daboll knows better than me. I'm going to let them do what they see fit, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that to me, that's where I'm at too. It's like, I'm interested to see what they do. I understand if they have to give, I understand the sentiment of giving Barkley a long-term deal. I'm totally fine with that 12 and a half number, but when you start talking 14, 15 million, to me, it's tough to swallow. And then with Jones, man, it's like, it seems like people are overreacting at that extra 2 million per year, where the big thing for me is guaranteed dollars. Like, if you go 5 years, 190, tell me how much is guaranteed. If you're only guaranteeing them 2 years, then it's just a 2 year, $72 million deal. Like, the thing about NFL contracts is, and this is the beauty of how NFL, you know, pushes this propaganda on fans, is that, so a guy will sign a 5 year, let's say Jones signs a 5 year, $190 million deal. Everyone's looking at that $190 million. It's like, there's no way he's getting the full $190 million. A lot of things would have to happen. It's all about guaranteed dollars. How much are you guaranteeing Daniel Jones? Are you guaranteeing him 2 years? Are you guaranteeing him 3 years?
Clearly not enough.
You know?
Like, in Daniel's eyes.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I'm saying, like, that's what I'm looking at. So the whole 3 year, 5 year thing, it doesn't matter to me. What matters is how many years are guaranteed.
Yeah.
And with Saquon, it's... I really don't know how that thing with Barkley is going to play out.
It's going to be interesting. It is. Interesting few weeks coming up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Told you, man, I was just enjoying my time with some friends, and all of a sudden, phone starts blowing up with notifications about Jones switching AAs. It's crazy.
Yeah. I'm down in Florida right now trying to enjoy my time. And
there you go.
Here we are.
In the South for a while.
About like a week or so right now. I'm here for like a month.
You were in South Carolina, too.
For the Super Bowl, I was, yeah. Nice. That was day one of my trip.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. In-laws are down here. I drove.
Driving is always nice, going down 95. I'm actually going to Dubai in a couple weeks.
No way.
Yes.
For what?
March 2nd. Just, you know, for vacation.
You taking Emirates first class?
No, I am taking Emirates, but not first class.
With the showers and the private booths?
I wish. I'm a very big guy. So I have to make sure I get the extra leg room.
Yeah. So that's why you got to get those credit card points and get that first class Emirates.
I do have the points, but the problem is they're not offering any upgrades with miles right now, which sucks.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes. Yeah.
So what else did you want to talk about?
Bijan Robinson.
Oh no.
Awful take.
Not really.
Yes, really bad.
Not really.
Yes.
Come on.
For a team that has as many holes as this team has, they will not. First of all, it's a moot point because Joe Shane's not going to do it.
Oh, never say never.
Never. Literally never. Like, DraftKings just put the odds up, minus 50,000.
Can I just say something?
Fine.
The number 25 pick is not as valuable as people think.
Okay, but you know what's more valuable?
What?
A guard that can start day one.
Absolutely, but like...
A defensive end who can play when Azeez Ojulari eventually goes down with an injury. A safety who can play when they don't re-sign Julian Love. A second cornerback when they miss out on James Bradbury in free agency.
Can I finish my thought?
Go ahead.
I understand there's more important needs and valuable positions. I'm just simply pointing out, I would not have a problem with it.
I would have a huge problem with it.
If you're telling me, like, the thing with...
Also, I don't think he's lasting until 25, by the way.
Me neither. That's why I don't know why people are so worked up. There's no way he's going to get to 25. I don't think there's a chance he's at 25. I think he's somewhere between...
10 and 20.
Yeah, I was going to say 12 and 22, but yeah. Because this was, I looked at the draft order.
Late teens.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a great player. And I think with pick number 25, and I'm going to say this, and I want to preface that, I'm talking about pick number 25, not pick number 5. Pick number 25, man, like, the expectations are different than when it's a top 10 pick. Like, if you can get 5, 6, 7 good years out of the 25th pick in the draft, that's a good pick, man, even if it's a running back.
No. Not if it's a running back.
I think people have way too much, you know, unreasonable expectations with the 25th pick. If you're thinking that you're going to land yourself an elite player at 25, it's a lot of wishful thinking.
No, forget elite.
Really
good. Really good.
Do you want to look at the last like 5-6 years?
Yeah, go ahead. Pull it up.
All right.
Let's see.
We'll start with, what was last year? 2022, of course.
22.
Yeah. So 2022 NFL draft, 25th pick. Tyler Linderbaum.
Great pick.
Great pick. I'll give you that one. 2021, although it's still just 1 year. But anyways, 2021.
It was a franchise center.
Oh, I love this one. Travis Etienne.
Yeah.
Great player. Really good player.
And yet, they had James Robinson. Urban Meyer pick. That's who's picking running backs at 25, Urban Meyer.
Ooh, you're going to like this one. Brandon Ayuk at 25.
Great pick.
All we know is he's just a wide receiver two right now. We don't know if he's a wide receiver one.
Still more useful.
All right.
Look at who the Giants are starting.
I get you. I got it. That was also a very good wide receiver class too, by the way.
It was.
Marquise Brown, traded. That was the 25th pick in the draft in 2019. 2018. Oh, this is your favorite draft. 2018. Hayden Hurst, also no longer with the team that he played for. A tight end. 2017. As you start to go back, you start to realize that, not as valuable as you think.
Sure, but look at 24. Sure. Look at 26. Look at 27. Like, not everyone's going to hit on their pick.
Okay. 25th. Jabril Peppers. After him, Takaris McKinley. Before him, Gayron Conley. Evan Ingram. My point is that you're not guaranteed to get, or it's really hard to hit on those late first round picks. I'm just saying. So a guy like John Robinson, he's a really good running back, probably one of the best players in this draft. If you get 7 years out of him, that's a good pick.
Let someone else make that mistake.
All right. But I'm just saying, like, my argument is that 25 and two, like, I won't live with myself if they take another running back in the first round. It's like, they're not taking him with the second pick.
Doesn't matter. And they're not taking a running back, period. So maybe in like the third round. It's a really deep running back class, by the way.
It is a very good running back class, yes.
Like, this is like the wide receiver class of like a couple years ago in terms of running backs.
Yeah, that is a very good comparison. This is a very good running back class. I just really like Bijan Robinson. I was just playing around.
Me too, dude. Listen, if I had a dynasty league draft, he's one of my top picks.
I like him too. I was just messing around with people. You guys know me, man. Sometimes I like to push people's buttons a little bit.
Yeah.
I do. I watched him. I really do like Robinson a lot. Jackson Smith and Jigba, I think, is the best receiver in this class.
Love him.
Yeah.
Love him.
And I put that out probably in like December. People were like, you're crazy. He's a slot receiver. No, not really, man. It's a really good receiver.
He's like the only receiver in this class that I like. I think this is the year. Yeah, I think
Jordan Addison is also good too.
I like Jordan Addison. But
I haven't watched the Boston College guys. Zay Flowers. I haven't watched.
Zay Flowers is really fun. But I believe he's undersized. I think this might be the year where we see the wide receiver. I don't want to say like the market reset itself, but like I think a lot of people see the success that teams have had drafting wide receivers over the last few years. And may reach for some guys in this class that I don't think are warranted, if that makes sense. But JSN, I really like.
Yeah. I when I watched him, I was like, I could see this guy literally in Brian Daboll's offense. Like, when you watch the Giants, you're like, yeah.
Question is, I don't think he's going to last to 25.
I don't think so either. I actually think I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in like the top 12.
Yeah.
If he's the first receiver off the board. Another thing I wanted to ask you was, how happy are you that Wink Martindale and Mike Kafka are coming back to the Giants?
Very happy. I maintained...
And Shea Tierney, who's underrated too, by the way.
I maintained pretty early on that I thought both would be back. Admittedly, things got a lot scarier than I thought.
With Arizona, right?
Never thought Wink was going to the Colts because, again, like the logic is, the guy spent forever in Baltimore, a notoriously stable organization. He came to the Giants, quote-unquote, notoriously stable organization. He is not going to go be head coach at however old he is for a literal crackhead. So I was never worried about him getting, well, maybe getting offered that job, but I was never worried about him accepting that job. Kafka
scared me.
Kafka scared me, admittedly. You know, again, like, you just look at the Chiefs and their coordinators and who's getting jobs where. It's a hotbed for coaching.
You know what scared me? I always thought that Gannon was their number one choice. But do you remember after the NFC Championship game where Gannon was like, I'm not leaving, I'm staying? I sort of bought into that a lot. And I thought, okay, maybe this means that Arizona is going to hire Kafka. I really did. I thought that if Gannon stayed in Philadelphia, Mike Kafka was going to be the head coach of
the NFL. But you know what? The bigger loss would have been Wink, because Tierney is a Dable guy.
Right.
So you just promote him into the offensive coordinator position. Bingo bango. I mean, I think he's the heir apparent. Like, Kafka's obviously going to get a job within the next 1 or 2 years. And when that happens, Tierney's going to get promoted to offensive coordinator. Like, I think that, like, that's a plan that's just done in-house. I'm not worried about that.
Another Chiefs coordinator, Eric Bieniemy. Your thoughts on him going to Washington?
Listen. People have speculated for years on the reasons why he was never hired as a head coach. A lot of people speculated that he just wasn't a good interviewer. And I think now it is very obvious that this man lacks any sort of good judgment. Because for the same reasons, I think Wink did not go to Indianapolis. Now we have Bieniemy going to tell me who is more unstable right now as an organization than the Washington Commanders. I mean, he's going there to, as a lot, I'm sure he's getting paid more, but positional-wise, it's a lateral move for an unstable organization, one of the worst owners, not just in football, but in professional sports, to be a coordinator for a dinosaur head coach whose quarterbacks currently, as it stands, are Carson Wentz and Sam Howell. You're a moron. Like, straight up, what are you thinking?
I understand the concept of wanting to prove that you could.
Yeah, I get it. Like, you go out from under Andy Reid's wing, and you go and you show you have success elsewhere, and you use that as a stepping stone to a head coaching job. This is not the place to do it.
No. And I was actually talking to one of my friends yesterday on the ride back home, where I was
I know you got some Commanders connections.
Yeah, I was like, Bieniemy, I understand what he's trying to do. You just don't do it to Washington. It's not just the fact that Daniel Snyder is the owner. They're in a transition. That team is going to be sold. There's going to be new management. There's going to be potentially a new front office. Ron Rivera's already on the hot seat.
Yeah.
They don't have an established quarterback. I said, if Bieniemy said, okay, I'm going to walk away from Kansas City, and I'm going to go to, hypothetically speaking, let's say Buffalo wanted an offensive coordinator.
Right.
Where it's Sean McDermott runs the defense, Eric Bieniemy runs the offense. There's no argument of, well, it's not Bieniemy running the show. No, Bieniemy runs the offense. You have an established quarterback. That would have made sense, right? Let's say he would have gone to even like a team like the Chargers, because they have an established quarterback.
And a head coach who's defensive-minded.
Right. Washington has none of that. They don't have continuity. They don't have an ownership group that's, you know, established. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen with that ownership group. They don't have a quarterback. And as far as we know, Ron Rivera was pretty heavily involved with the Scott Turner offense. And I don't think Scott Turner was a bad coordinator, by the way. It's a weird move for Bieniemy. And I don't know what's to gain here, because it's just so much to lose. Because think about it. If this thing falls on his face, which we think it will, Rivera's gone. Well, then what happens with Bieniemy?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what is he going to do? So it was interesting to see him just jump at that job. I was really, really surprised by it. I thought staying in Kansas City for another year would have been the better option. But Anyways, he decided to do what he did.
Yep. Makes no sense to me.
All right. One more topic back to the Giants. And I want to ask you this, and then we can wrap it up. Okay. Leonard Williams and Adoree Jackson have two very high cap hits. Hypothetically speaking, Giants are franchise tagging Daniel Jones. We'll table the Saquon thing for a second. We know that Leonard Williams has, I believe, a $30 million cap hit.
Yeah, close like to it. It's like one of the highest. I think it's the highest non-quarterback cap hit in the NFL.
So he has a $32 million cap hit. One of the things that was floated, and cutting him only frees up $12 million.
Yep.
One of the other downsides of cutting him is they don't have another defensive tackle. Do you remember when it was a disaster? The other one is Adoree Jackson, who has a $19 million cap hit. It will be the second highest cap hit once Kenny Golladay gets cut. Obviously, we're not cutting Adoree Jackson, but he is still 27. Can you believe that? I feel like he's been out for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leonard Williams is 28. Adoree is 27. Still in the prime of their career. To free up cap space, the Giants could extend them. You want to extend Leonard Williams?
No, but I don't think they have a choice.
He's a good player.
He's a fine. Yeah. But what are you lowering his cap hit to in an extension, and how many more years?
So the thing that was floated by Dan Duggan, which does amazing work, is Grady Jarrett, 3 years, $50 million.
Yeah.
You can then lower the cap hit from 32 to, say, 22, like free up 10 in cap space. And then the Adoree thing is interesting because if you look at the cornerbacks that got paid recently, Jari Alexander reset the market, and we know that Adoree isn't Jari Alexander. So he's not $20 million. He's not $19 million, $18 million, some of these wide cornerback ones. But J.C. Jackson, who signed a contract extension last year with the Chargers, got $16.5 million per year.
And he looked awful.
Yeah. But, if you extend him, it's somewhere between, $16, $17 million a year. Would you do that to lower his?
Yeah, I mean, I would extend him because I think he's a good player.
Right.
You can extend him and lower the cap hit by $3 million.
Yeah. Still just 27 years old. That's
absolutely do it. Yeah. Then he's you're still your quarterback one next year. Yeah. Maybe you draft someone in the first or second round, and then hopefully they do well. And over time, Jackson moves to your CB2.
Correct. And then obviously the other ones, Dexter Lawrence, these guys, like we talk about, reset the market.
Yeah, paid.
Yeah. His cap hit's $12 million. Andrew Thomas is at $10 million. Don't know what an extension would do much for them. I don't think it would lower their cap.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. Those are the two things, Leonard Williams and Adoree Jackson, that I wanted to see what you thought. I think if they franchise tag Daniel Jones, those two guys are going to be really, really important because you can't restructure them because they're both in the final year of their deal.
Yeah. So that's where we are.
A lot of chaos in Giant Twitter, man. It was awesome reading my mentions.
Oh my god, yeah.
It was
It's just like one of those weeks. Like you get like a big news drop, and everyone's fighting.
I'll send you this, but I wanted to mention this on air because I was laughing. It was a conversation about Daniel Jones and Lamar Jackson, and it somehow turned to
the race argument. I think I saw this shit.
No, it wasn't the race. It was you made a gay slur.
Who did?
Lamar Jackson, once upon a time.
Oh, I think I remember this.
Yeah. That got into the conversation.
Lovely.
A lot. I mean, the only thing that was missing was politics, man.
Who was it on the Nets the other day that dropped a no homo?
I don't know. I've divorced myself from the NBA.
Who do you root for?
I mean, I used to enjoy just the competition of it, but the NBA has just become, it's just a big soap opera now. And I just
it is.
It's like the game is secondary now.
Almost. I'm not a big NBA guy. I didn't watch the All-Star game or any of the skills competition. I just got a pop-up from ESPN. It was like Stephen A. Smith said that there was an egregious lack of competition or trying in the All-Star game.
That's every night in the NBA.
Yeah, like what did you expect?
Do you guys watch regular season basketball? Like that's basically what it is. It's just a big circle jerk. I don't like how everybody's friends, everybody's like,
there's no competition.
No.
No one hates each other.
No. You need that. You need the rivalry. there was something brewing between Brooklyn and Boston with Kyrie Irving, and then all of a sudden Kyrie gets up and requests a trade. You know, it's like,
yeah, that's all that happened.
Yeah, it's all that happened. A lot of things happened. But my point is, like, just as, you know, you start to see rivalries, you start to see, you know, some of those awesome matchups, guy requests a trade.
Yeah.
Team decides to rebuild. It's tough to keep up. It's a soap opera, really. And I've divorced myself from the NBA. I've been watching a lot of college basketball. Looking forward to the tournament.
Okay.
I am. It's going to be a fun offseason. Really fun. Going to Dubai.
Go Huskies.
UConn?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. Big East. They're back.
My my in-laws, all UConn.
I like UConn. Bobby Hurley coaches that team, right? Or his brother?
I have no idea, to be honest. I don't pay attention. But it's like this family is like Husky dedicated. Like, I come downstairs yesterday and it's like back to back men's game, women's game. Like, both really? Games are on until completion. Like, no, like, they know the women's team players and everything. Like,
wow.
Yeah, it's awesome. Cuz like, wow. I mean, if you're from like Long Island, right? Like, you're around my, like, our age. Like, I'm 29 right now. Like, you didn't grow up with any dominant New York basketball teams. Like, way, way, way early, like, maybe Syracuse. When my dad was, you know, way younger, St. John's was really good. But, like, if you're from Long Island, New York City, whatever, and you grew up and, like, you didn't go to a school that had a big team, like, you really didn't care too much about college basketball. Like unless you, like, you fell in love with a player, or, like, your parents' alma mater had, like, a really good team. So, like, I never had, like, a college rooting interest growing up for either football or basketball.
Growing up, for me, this is interesting you mentioned that. I grew up on the Big East tournament. Like, I loved Big East basketball. Like, Jim Calhoun, John Thompson, and then his son. I was close to Georgetown, too. Jim Boeheim, you know, these legendary rivalries in the Big East. Like, I love, that's why I love college basketball.
Yeah.
That's why I hate this realignment shit that everybody's just conferences. But yeah, college ball is awesome. It's on my bucket list. I definitely want to come and watch the Big East tournament in the Garden.
When is March Madness?
It's in a couple weeks. That's
the awesome. I have to go back to Vegas for work. Really? And I think I'm going to be there like the mid-month, like 13th to the 15th or something like that. So,
there is a conference tournament in Vegas. There's always
there you go.
Tournament. Yeah,
I find myself in Vegas during the most interesting times. The very first time I went to Vegas was like at my first job. They sent me there by myself, and it was the weekend of the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
Wow.
Yeah, and it fucking sucked because my company was awful, shitty and cheap, and like the only way you could even get into a bar to watch the fight was like, it was like $250 cover, and then you had to buy like another $250 worth of food and drinks. And it was like, all right, I'm just gonna go back to my hotel, whatever. Like 20, like 22 years old, my company's not paying for shit, and like, this sucks. And everything's overcrowded.
Yeah, you might as well just went and stand outside of that arena, the T-Mobile arena, and just like,
yeah,
just
hopefully see if there's a video porter, listen for
exactly.
cheers.
Exactly. Yeah.
But hey, maybe if there's a conference game, I'll go.
Yeah, it's a conference. The college basketball season really kicks into high gear as soon as the Super Bowl ends.
Yeah,
it does. It
really
does.
The football's over.
Yeah,
baseball hasn't started yet. No one cares about the NBA until the playoffs.
I don't even know if I'll care during the playoffs. I've just been so turned off, man. It's crazy.
Islanders are done. Host, dude.
What's your thoughts on their GM, that old guy? Because I know you used to love him a lot.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's tough to keep up with your Twitter, man. It's
I know, because listen, with the Islanders, I admittedly I'm very hot and cold. Like,
yeah, you are.
I'm Stanley Cup, and then I'm tank for first overall. I mean, I'll drop it here. I mean, Islanders just tweeted it. Barzell's out indefinitely, but I got some news yesterday from some people.
Who's Barzell? Their best player?
Their star player. Okay. He got like hit awkwardly along the boards. There, like, might have been some knee to knee contact, and the word that I got were no bueno. So. Uh-oh. If he's out, it's, you might as well just tank the season. But like, I don't think
they have a shot to make the playoffs.
No, they're in the middle of the playoff hunt right now.
Oh,
like the Metro Division, like the wild card spots, like all like the Capitals suck now. Penguins, Islanders just came back from 3-1 to beat Penguins.
The Capitals do suck because I was offered some free tickets.
There you go. Yeah. Islanders like haven't been playing well, but then they go ahead and beat the Penguins and all of a sudden they're in a wild card spot. And then next game against Boston, they get their shit kicked in and lose their best player for probably the rest of the season.
So, are the Rangers good?
Really good. I think they just won like 8 straight.
Are they like one of the favorites to win the Stanley Cup? I know Boston
should be.
They should be
at this point.
Is Boston still like historically good?
Oh my God, yeah.
Like
they've lost 8 times in regulation this season.
Oh wow.
Yeah. They're like 41-8-3 or something like that.
Help me out with hockey. When you go to overtime, is there still the penalty shootout after an overtime session?
Yeah, you do 3-on-3 overtime for 5 minutes and then shootout.
Oh, so in overtime is 3-on-3.
Yeah, they changed that a few years ago from 4-on-4.
Oh, wow, that's nice. That used to be nice.
Now it sucks because when teams were still figuring it out, like, it was insane. It was just back and forth. Like, the ice was open. And now you see like a lot of these teams are just like, we're going to play for the shootout. It's like a lot of keep away, skating around the perimeter. It's like, I don't find it very fun anymore. It's more strategic, but it's far less entertaining than when they first introduced it.
Got you.
Yeah.
I might watch hockey, man.
Dude, you should. It's fun.
I might, yeah. It's just tough to keep up with the names, man.
I know.
It's hard.
Like, a lot of foreign names, too.
Earlier you were pronouncing names. I was like, damn, look at this guy.
Which name?
Earlier you were talking about some hockey player in your opening monologue about...
What?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you mentioned a couple of guys, and I was like, oh, you were talking about like leverage and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
This guy.
Alex DeBrincat.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So, yeah, I might get it down.
A chunk. Yeah.
They got it on ESPN Plus. I'm an ESPN Plus subscriber.
So, yeah, dude. That was probably the best thing the league did. I mean, they do a lot of bad things, but, like, being able, like, I'm in Florida right now, so, like, I don't get MSG or anything like that. Boom, pull up my phone. I watch the Islanders on ESPN Plus.
There you go. It's awesome.
Yeah. That's good stuff. All right. Should we wrap it up?
Yep.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Wise at NYG Daily. Follow producer Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a kind review. And we'll talk to you guys soon.
Peace.